Yeah, we can. I can make an adjustment for that for $21,000 from a large donor for that.
But the follow up the question is actually that if we go by that speed, then 1,000 compared to 50,000 tapes, so that is not a doable project. Then in that case, I mean, how many years will it take? So obviously we understand that probably that will not be the model that we can pursue.
Well, I feel that if this budget is approved and I put time, now I reached out to these people last week. As I was saying, I spent since the day that I became the interim director until last week fundraising, working on fundraising projects for both the archives and the Pacifica Foundation. I feel that if I'm given the time to put in some time to find alternative revenue streams, that I will be able to come up with this type of money to cover it without stressing the normal Pacifica Radio Archives budget and without stressing the Pacifica Foundation. These are all reasonable numbers that if I am given the time to outreach to our large donor base, that I will be able to come up with these numbers. So, this last year has been in fundraising mode for not only the archives but the foundation. I would like to put some time into getting some large donors together for this particular project.
Bill for the stack.
I think our Paul is next on the stack.
Sounds like somebody's doing dishes also.
Yeah, somebody's washing their dishes. I wish they'd stop.
Yeah,
that
could everybody please, if you're not talking, please mute your phone. Thank you.
Okay. I must say this is I've been on the NFC for some years, and this is one of the better budget proposals I recall hearing. It sounds like it's a very upbeat one. It sounds like there are doable things, that things are sustainable. It's refreshing. One thing, in terms of the costs you mentioned for USB flash drives and things like that, how are you obtaining the CDRs and the you're getting CDRs, you're not pressing, right?
That's right. We're getting CDRs. We have duplication machines here in the archives.
Right. And are you, putting up bids for huge numbers of those, or are you just going online and buying someplace?
No, actually CDs is not a large part of our work here. Most of it now is USBs. We have 100 drive USB duplicators, so we're now able to replicate these USB drives at a much higher rate than we have in the past. We have put out bids for the USB drives, but nothing comes close to how inexpensively we can do it ourselves yet. That may change, but at the moment, the USB drives are costing the stations $25 a piece, and they're getting $200 for them. So they're basically at the 10% rule that we try and live by, and so that's where we're at right now. The reason we can do this is because we found a vendor that has been incredibly efficient with giving us USB drives that don't fail. We have about a 99% success rate with these particular USB drives, and we've been through about four vendors, and you know, it's been as dismal as 60% success. Now, of course, we you know, we return the 40% and we get 40% back, but it's slow. It's, you know, it's a big pain, but we just happen to find somebody that's relatively inexpensive and very efficient with their quality. So at this point, we haven't been able to find anybody that would replicate this for less than $25, but we're looking all the time, and if we find somebody, we're going to go with them.
Okay, yeah, I was actually talking about the physical USB flash drive and what you're getting with that, and well, I'm glad. It sounds like you've reached a proper point, you know, between volume and what you can do and quality there. I will point out that Jump Drive is a trademark of Lexar Corporation. So,
right.
If they're not Lexars, you should probably call them USB flash drives. Otherwise,
yeah.
Who knows? They'll probably never sue you or care, but who knows?
Yeah, on our promotional work, they're all flash drives.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think Bill was next.
Yeah, thank you. I've talked to Mark some about this. I'm really excited. Looks like he's making some really tremendous progress. They've been doing a really great job this year and churning out those USB drives that, as he points out, have brought in over $1.5 million to our station so far this year. But one thing to remember about paying for the the Shoah Foundation or whoever we get to do the digitization, to help with the digitization and preservation to speed it up, is that we used to get grants and we stopped not getting audits done. But once we get caught up on audits in a few months, we should be able to get grants again. And I think that's probably the way we can get a lot of the funding for this also. There is money out there for digitization and preservation. And Mark also has contact with major donors. And I think this is the kind of thing that I think people would, you know, we gladly help fund because it's really saving our history. And making it available to schools and researchers and others too.
Yeah, that is true, Bill. The Shoah Foundation, in an email this morning, they answered several of my technical questions. What format will they be giving it to us, assuring us that we maintain ownership, et cetera. And I asked them, do they have access to, any granting partnerships? They said that they don't do that, but they will provide any technical and academic enforcement or support for any grants that we do write. So they're completely, they're connected with the University of Southern California library systems, so they're familiar with grants themselves. They get grants all the time. They're getting a grant for their top 10 supercomputer. So they know the process and they know the information that's needed to help us get grants, and they're in full support of helping us do that.
Thank you. Is there any further questions or discussion?
I guess I had one question, but it was, I think it's been mostly answered. From what I'm gathering, this is Chris Corey, the Shoah Foundation, why don't you just give me a little bit of insight as to why, I think you've explained most of it already, but Shoah is so interested in helping with this project.
They got interested right from the beginning when I spoke to the head technical person who I started explaining some of the programs that are in our collection, frankly. I told him about the first interview that Rosa Parks did after a bus boycott action that's in the Ford Museum on the bus that she did the action on that has the famous picture of President Obama sitting listening to our audio loop on this bus in the museum. I told him about early recordings of unique recordings of Dr. Martin Luther King from 1958, when he was considered a communist and a revolutionary troublemaker. Fannie Lou Hamer, James Baldwin, the first reading of Howl by Allen Ginsberg. All of these things just resonated. Every program that I pointed out to him literally just blew his mind. And he's like, I got to put you in touch with the person that can say yes or no. I'm here to tell you we have the space. I'm here to tell you that we just finished this massive digitization project with our own materials to beat our decay deadline by a year. And they have this clean room that is set for duplication that nobody's using. So when they found that they could be of service, greater service to the education community and the world by helping save this unique collection, they jumped at it, frankly, and they wanted to accommodate it any way they could. And so when I spoke to the person who makes the call, they originally said $30 a tape, and then they said, well, if you do the first 5,000, we'll do it at a 30% discount, and if you do the entire collection, we'll do it at a 45% discount. So it just, you know, they want to, they're part university and they're part philanthropic foundation that is preserving a unique collection, and they have a world-class facility, and frankly, it's not being utilized like it could, and we've just given them a purpose.
That's amazing.
They've got such a great team, and it's not being utilized. We're going to give them purpose.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Do we have a motion to approve this budget and pass it on to the Pacifica National Board for final approval?
Ken? Yeah, I move to approve the budget as submitted by Mark Torres.
Okay.
With the one adjustment that he mentioned about including the $21,000 for the first 1,000 tapes.
Yeah, so we will put him in the like donation, and we'll put in the restoration expenses, correct? It will be in
right,
and out.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion?
Bill.
Could the secretary read it back so we all agree on what we're talking about? All right. To approve to recommend to the PNB the approval of the PRA draft FY18 budget as submitted, with adding $21,000 for the first 1,000 tapes to be digitized. Would that be good?
Yes.
Nancy, with a question.
Okay. I think Bill was first, and then we can take your question, Nancy. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, add the actuals for the previous years, and including projected data for revenue expenses through FY17.
Yes, we're missing the actuals for the previous 2 years. Nancy?
I thought I heard Mark say that the goal is to do 10,000 tapes this year, and that he, you know, that would not happen unless we could fundraise the rest of the money, but we would be more able to do that after we get the audit finished. And that would all be part of the FY 2018 year. So I'm wondering why we wouldn't put the full amount for the $10,000 in there, which would be about $150,000, if it's $15 a tape, $150,000 raised by donors and $150,000 as expense. And then, you know, if it didn't, if the, you know, it's just a wash, if the donors didn't appear, the tapes wouldn't be done. So that expense would cancel out the loss, you know, the lack of revenue. So I'm just wondering why we're not putting all of that in there, if that's the expectation.
Sam on the sack.
Point of order, if there is, in fact, an amendment on the floor, could somebody say who's making the amendment and exactly what the wording is?
I'm not making an amendment until I know that's what I thought was the expectation. And if that's true, I would like to have that be an amendment to add, instead of $21,000, $150,000.
I need to know who's making it and exactly what the wording will be.
That's Nancy, and the amendment was for the amendment of adding $21,000 in donor revenue would be changed to $150,000, and the expenses for the tape, for digitizing the tapes, would be changed from $21,000 to $150,000.
Okay, so you're making...
Is this a point of discussion, again, to the SAC?
Yes, because if we don't have an amendment on the floor with actual words, we're not debating an amendment. And it ain't going to be in there, and people are going to say at the end of everything, gee, you didn't get the amendment? So I'm letting people know what's going on.
Well, this is Mark.
Ken to the stack. Ken to the stack.
Sam to the stack. Sam to the stack.
Let me just say, I had a lot of trouble following what Nancy was saying. There was some kind of heavy static on her phone, but I believe she was asking that the budget be revised so that it provides a $150,000 donation and a $150,000 expense. She's talking about doing the whole 10,000 tapes a deal for the coming budget year instead of just the 1,000. Is that correct, Nancy?
If that was what Mark's intention was, then I'm thinking it should be in the budget. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
if I could just respond really quickly on this.
Well,
okay,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Chair, could I read what I have so we're all talking about the same thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The amendment.
But Paul, I don't want to make an amendment until I know from Mark if that's the expectation to do the 10,000 this year.
All right. So there's no amendment on the floor. Thank you.
Okay. So that's just a question at this point. Mark, can you answer
that
question?
Yeah. Already this morning, we're still in negotiations. I would rather not put it in the budget for this year because we really just made initial contact last week, and we've been moving forward pretty quickly. And already today, the head of the digital repository at the University of Southern California has already reduced that price. We're still in negotiations about it. Every time we speak, the price seems to keep going down even further. The latest email that was dated this morning was $105,000 for the first 10,000 tapes, and I feel like I might be able to reduce it even further, and I might be able to find some other funding sources to be able to match whatever that expense is. So I think that installing that in our budget is premature. If we do move forward with digitization or preservation, it will not be paid for from this budget as it stands. It will come from additional revenue streams, whether it's large donors or grants or negotiations. So I feel that the 99% of our work that is going to be done will be funded by the budget as it stands. I did get an okay from a large donor, just recently. You guys have had this budget for a while now, and, these developments are just happening today, and I wanted to be as current as possible in mentioning them to you. But, we wanted to start with this first batch of 1,000. I think that is a reasonable thing to put in the budget, because I do have a commitment for a large donor for that. But the additional 10,000 tapes, again, it went from $150,000 to $105,000 in a couple of days, and it could go down even further because of the importance of our collection and just the familiarity that I'm and the relationship that I'm building with the Shoah Foundation people. And I keep meeting higher and higher administrators from the foundation. And I haven't met the executive director yet, but they may waive the entire fee. So I'm building the relationship today, and I think it's premature to put that in the budget for this next year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sam on the stack?
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so I just want to understand the protocol that we should follow. There's a resolution, and then there is some amendment or some additional language. So will we speak on the merits or the for and the against? Or if not, then I would like to express my opinion at this point that including $21,000 or 1,000 digitization, it does not make any sense at all, because it's completely misleading. In terms of facts, it's going to take 50 years at that rate at which we are going. And the other thing is that 21,000 does not make any sense, because it's already covered by the surplus. So it's not a matter of playing games with the budget. It's expressing the true intent. If this is a major project, then this should be well thought about, and it should be reflected in the budget numbers. So that point should be considered thoroughly in whenever we are approving a budget.
Point well taken. I feel that I would love to address what is reasonable to happen in this next year with the Pacifica Radio Archives preservation efforts. I've just begun to address this issue. We have a couple of proposals before us that, some require relinquishing ownership of tapes. Some don't require that. There's a lot of options to consider, but I don't feel that with the amount of time that was put into this at this point, I don't feel that it would benefit either the foundation or the Pacifica Radio Archives budget to adjust it to account for something that has not been given enough time to find the best solution for it. But I would like to, in this next year, develop a plan and financing for this. I think the budget as it stands will allow me to do that. It'll allow me to continue raising an extraordinary amount of money for the foundation as well as the archives, and it will give us the time to develop a plan that I believe can be budgeted for the next year's budget.
Okay.
Ken, to the back.
Ken was on. Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I think if it was agreeable to put in the 1,000 teeth as a pilot project on the use with this service of the Shoah Foundation, rather than putting in a 10-year, 5 years, or whatever it's going to take, project in this year's budget, especially since there's been zero commitment. We're in the trial stage, and we might go with this, and we might go with a different solution. Lots of things might happen. This is just a budget for 2018. Budgets can also be adjusted later. But at this meeting, we have this budget, and I think the motion is to approve this budget with the addition of the donation and the expense to do 1,000 tapes at Shoah for the price of $21 a tape, and to add in the final statements for 2015 and 2016, the income statements, so that the budget can then be presented to the PNB. And we'll leave the future, the happy future, the wonderful things that are going to happen for next year's budget, or we'll modify this one when it comes closer to reality. Right now, the only thing that's the only target that seems to be in the arena is a mutual agreement, a handshake or a verbal agreement on 1,000 tapes at $21 a tape. And that I would consider it a pilot project. And I'm not burdening this with a full scary commitment of 50,000 tapes or 10,000 tapes. So I think the amendment, I think we should move on approving the budget the way we had it, with the 1,000 tapes and addition of the 2015 and 2016 income statements.
Any further discussion on this?
Mr. Chair. R. Paul.
Yes.
Okay.
R. Paul.
Yeah. Let me read you what I have right now, because in all of this, no amendment was made. What I have is to recommend to the PNB approval of the PRA draft FY18 budget as submitted, with adding the $21,000 for the first 1,000 tapes to be digitized. Now, if somebody wants to put on something or other about the past things that was never made as an amendment, and if somebody would please do that now, it would probably please everyone.
Bill for the stack.
Bill.
I'd like to amend the budget proposal by adding that the actual figures for revenue and expenses for years prior to FY17 be added, and projected figures for FY17 be added. You want me to write that down, R. Paul?
Let's see if I have. Okay, the amendment would be to add the actual figures for revenue and expenses for the years prior to FY17 for what the 2 years prior or 3 years? 2 years prior?
Two years.
Two. 15 and 16.
They were missing.
To add the actual figures for revenue expenses for the 2 years prior to FY17 and to add projected figures for FY17.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay. If there's no further discussion, are there any objections to approving this budget as it has been amended?
Yeah, I object to it. This is Sam. Okay, Sam. Could you speak on the matter?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. First of all, the revenue that is projected, that is at $85,000. Realistically, that should be closer to $150,000 or so. And that should provide some money for the resources that the BRA needs. And that should also be utilized towards the digitization. And I agree wholeheartedly that it's an important project, and some of the money can be come from the internal resources. The second objective is that we know it very well that not all stations will pay for the central services. It's a fact. So we have to admit that, and we have to account for that. So for that reason, the budget should be amended. And second thing is that it should also reflect some real conditions about the digitization project. If this is an ambitious project, it should fully reflect, not fully, I would say, but it at least in partial, the intent that going forward, this is the major plan. So for this reason, I object to this budget.
Sam, I have a question about your last point. Can we not approve the first batch of 1,000 as a pilot project without, I think that was Kent's suggestion, without in any way committing ourselves to the full project at this point, I mean, until we know more? Is that not a doable option?
Yeah, I agree, because at this time all the details have not been ironed out. So where it may fall, we don't know, and we can definitely account for 21,000, but that's an eyewash as compared to the total dollars, because if the dollar amount is less than maybe 1% or 2%, then it can always be ignored. My main point is with respect to the revenue base, because not only just one day revenue should be accounted, but at least the unit should be capable of conducting at least 2-day fund drive so as to get that revenue and get the resources that are necessary.
Okay, this is Mark. In response to that, number one, and this is all due respect, Sam, for all of your work and your thought into this and your incredible work having to deal with the finances of the Pacifica Foundation in general. I understand that that's an incredible task. I would like to say that the Shoa Foundation has exhibited and extended us an opportunity that would allow us to get our collection done before the 2025 deadline. If we started next year on this project, next fiscal year, we still come in 3 years ahead of their deadline. The Shoa Foundation themselves, they came in 1 year before their deadline. So even if we started it next fiscal year and we used this next year to plan for the financing of this, we would still make it 3 years ahead of the deadline that the Preservation Task Force has set forth. I don't think there's any rush to move forward, but our intent is fully to, my plan is to get the remaining tapes digitized, preserved, and get the metadata online and get the digital collection and the physical tapes in a safe and redundant space that will allow for protections beyond what we can do here at the archives. There's a path for that. There's not a need to rush for it this year, but I have found a path for success for the entire collection. I would like to, if we have to start next year beyond this pilot program, that still allows us plenty of time to digitize the entire collection. Once we make an agreement with the Shoa Foundation, or somebody else, they can do this, our entire collection, within a 4-year period. So I don't think there's a rush to put that in our budget. Any additional fundraising goals for the archives, I think, is beyond the capacity of the archives' capabilities. We're a 4-person staff. Even so, you know, we were here from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. to get that $172,000. Doing it for 2 days is just not something that our 4-person staff can realistically pull off. I feel that we can do a stellar job in fundraising in a single day, but beyond that, it's too taxing on our 4-person staff. Even so, we fundraised last year with our 4-person staff twice as much as we did with double the staff over 2-day period. So, you know, sometimes the effort, you know, if it's focused in a single day, can be just as good or better in this case as a 2-day period. I've thought about this a lot. I've been fundraising for the archives since 2002. We've raised millions and millions of dollars over that amount of time. And I feel this budget is fair for this 4-person staff to do the work of it. There has not been a drop off in attention to the stations, to the listeners. Our preservation efforts in-house maintains at 1,000 tapes per year, just like we have in the previous years when we were staffed with more people. So there's been no drop-off in that effort. And I've now found a path that will allow us to complete this preservation process well ahead of schedule. We don't have to do it this year, but the fact that we're looking into it and developing a path to have it done ahead of schedule, I think that's something that needs to be done and will be done in this next year. And if this budget is approved with your amendments that I've already heard, we can do that.
Point of order, Mr. Chair?
What is your point of order?
I call for the orders of the day.
Okay, the orders of the day have been called. We have to move on, and we have to finish this agenda item. I think there's still a bunch of questions about this budget.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Orders of the day means we stop talking, and unless somebody wants to move to extend, we read the motion and go to a vote.
It means we complete the item on the agenda.
Yeah, which is, at this point, to do this. I mean, it's a 45-minute item. It's been on for more than an hour and a half. So I'm calling for the order of the day, and that's what we do. If somebody wants to extend, you can talk more. Otherwise, we can't talk about this. We got
to
go to a vote.
Does anybody want to extend time on this item?
I would extend for 5 minutes to let the chair speak.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending this for another 5 minutes? Okay. I would like to introduce a motion to postpone this item until the next meeting. I think it requires some more work. I think Sam does bring up some questions about budget. The budget should reflect what we realistically can get from central services, and I think it needs a little bit more work. I think it's a good budget as far as the budgets go, but there are still some questions that hang out here that I would like to see it polished up and reintroduced at our next meeting. So
So that's my motion.
Point of order.
No second.
Point of order. There's a motion on the floor.
A motion to postpone takes precedence over the current motion on the floor. I believe. Is that correct, Art Paul?
Oh, well, you were given time to do something, so you've done it. We never started going into the vote, so you have made a motion before we got to the vote. So the motion to postpone is what's on the floor.
I second the motion to postpone, Ms. Sabrina.
I object, so calling for a vote.
Okay. I don't think this motion is debatable, so let's go to a vote. All those in favor of
ask them to hold their hands up, Alex. All right. The motion is to postpone the motion to approve the PRA budget. Ken Aaron.
No.
Demigarwal.
Yes to postpone, no to approve.
We're voting on postponing. Nick Arena.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economides.
Yes.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes to postpone.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden.
No.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Okay, Mansoor Sabah. All right, 7-4, 3 against, 0 abstention.
Okay, we'll discuss this again at the next meeting. The next item on the agenda is if there's, I believe we had scheduled, if there's any further discussion on other budgets. I'm not quite sure where the different stations are with their budgets. So does anybody think they have a budget ready to submit to us? I haven't seen any that came across in any emails. But
Art Paul for that?
Art Paul?
Yeah. I see where the CFO has said that someone has been contracted to do the WBAI budget. Could we hear a little bit about that? How this is going to work and why the budget was contracted in this way rather than being submitted by the general manager in the usual way?
Okay, that's a question for Sam.
Yeah, so I will briefly respond to that. The reason why I have done that, and that is, I'm in constant communication with the general manager and with the ED also. It is important that the budget should reflect some realistic numbers. And those numbers were not coming from the station. The credibility was not there. And the other thing is, the gentleman who is engaged in this project also has helped in the audit. So he's familiar with the numbers, and we are expecting much better results from him. I don't want to make any disparaging comments against the station or anybody, but this is the condition when we don't have a qualified business manager at the station.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Any further discussion or questions on this? I gather nobody else has a budget ready to present to this committee yet. Is that correct?
Yes. I had sent a short email just a few days back
that when we talk to the business managers, they are just getting some time to devote time and attention towards the budget. And three stations reported that they have not presented the budgets to their LSBs. So first they have to get this approved from the LSB, and then only they can present it to the National Finance Committee. So I'm expecting somewhere late either this month or maybe early October would be the more realistic time frame.
Okay. Any further discussion on this item? If not, then let's go on to the next item on our agenda, and that's a report from Sam.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I would be just brief, just to give an update where we are, because it's already, I think we are past 2 hour mark. Like I said, that the budget fiscal year 18 was a priority, but it got delayed because we are just getting off from fiscal year 2015 audit, and the staff was extremely busy. We are still wrapping up the 2015 because, like I had reported in the last committee meeting, that there's a huge cleanup project. There was incorrect accounting from 2010 to 2015, and we are reversing those or removing those transactions from Great Plains. We have already taken effect in the financial statements, so those are good. But unless until we clean up Great Plains, we cannot start the preparation for the 2016 audit. So that is still keeping the staff busy, but we are switching attention to other priorities like the fiscal year 18 budget. There are a few other things that are going on at this time. Those are very important also. We were behind in the pension audit for both fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16. We had not gotten the audit done, and that is now in the process. So we have been supplying a lot of information to them, and they are quite busy with the compliance requirements. One important thing is that, and I will be brief in my remarks because this is purely a sensitive financial issue, that for fiscal year 15 and for both fiscal year 16, the stations have not paid the pension obligations. And we have been checking with the plan administrator, and there are some serious compliance issues. So I don't know how further I can go into that, but we are looking into that. And the one thing that is important is that the compliance is not at the station level. Even if one station prepares itself to pay the past obligations, but the compliance will be at the foundation level. So the foundation will still be considered to be in default if we don't pay the entire amount. And that is what is making the situation to be more tricky and more complicated. So I have referred this matter to their technical group, and they will be informing us about the action that we can take. The other thing is that we have to, at some point in time, I and Bill Crozier will suggest some action plan. Because we have been told that the penalties could be very heavy, like it could be really high amount that we will have to pay in terms of penalties if we don't remove this default pretty soon. So those are some pressing matters at this time that are going on. But immediately we are turning our attention now in maybe next week or so towards fiscal year 16 audit preparation. That's also a major project, and it'll take some time before we can get started, before we can even invite the auditors. There's one other quick mention I would like to make, is that apart from the pension audit, there was one other audit that was late, and that is the 403B audit. That is the retirement plan that we have for all the employees. And in 2016, that also became applicable. So we had to get that audit done. Today I received the confirmation from the audit committee that the auditors have been appointed. So pretty soon we will be providing the information to the auditors for this retirement plan audit. This is different than the pension audit. So as you can imagine, the national office is quite busy with so many compliance requirements. So let me stop. If somebody has a quick question, I can answer.
Are there any questions? Keep in mind that some of these issues cannot be gone into in any detail in an open session.
Bill for the stack.
Bill?
Not so much a question, but just to say, I've been telling all the GMs for some time that they need to be planning for surpluses if possible for this coming fiscal year, because we got to start making a headway on our debt, and the pension funding is a pretty high priority. It's a high part of that. So when all of you are talking to your LSBs and your local budget finance committees, be thinking about that. We've been spending too many years just, you know, figuring out how to spend every possible penny that comes in, and then we spend it even if it doesn't all come in. And we've got to start reversing that, because we've gotten a lot of trouble from all the deficit spending over the last few years, and that's one of the reasons why we don't have the pensions funded for all these years. And you might note that some of that is listed in this FY15 audit that was finished last month. Of course, that doesn't cover FY16 or 17, so that's in addition to what's listed in that audit. And it doesn't include the pension plans, but that's a separate issue. I mean, the 403B, it's fully funded, but the other one's not. Sorry if I confused things there.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Any further questions or comments?
I would like to make another quick comment. Actually, I forgot about it. Whenever time permits.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So sometime back, I had sent a budget evaluation worksheet, and I would suggest if everybody takes a look at that, and if that can be included along with the budget, that will be a very good, quick snapshot picture, and that will give us a good idea if the budgets are realistic or not. Because what my objective was that if we can identify the trends, like the number of fund-drive days or the average collection that the history shows and what the station is budgeting, probably we would know very quickly whether that is realistic or not. The second aspect was that each station should also provide an estimate of the pension obligations that are pending and the central services that are outstanding. That number is very important, and that number does not get reflected anywhere, and whether they have a plan to make those payments. If not, then how are we going to manage our business? I mean, that's the question that we will have to answer. So I would suggest that everybody, if they can take a look, and maybe at the LSB, they can ask for that worksheet to be filled out before that budget is approved.
Okay, good idea. We are at time for this meeting. Would someone like to call for the orders of the day?
If you've observed it, no one needs to.
I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Since we're at time, this meeting is adjourned.
Next meeting's in 2 weeks.